Unfortunately, I have a competitor. It's a jazz festival. Okay. Thank you for coming. I'm really glad to see you all here. And I have a surprise for you. I want to do the exercise here. It's about integration. Wow. Integration, our primary identity, and our, I call this, ancestor identity. I mean, if you don't want to do this, we can just go to the PowerPoint presentation. Yeah? Is it better? Or exercise? Okay, let's make a sound. Yeah. Exercise. Yeah. Presentation. So, okay, exercise. I mean, all right. So, again, you have two choices, to do it on yourself, or I can lead you. Okay, thank you. This this exercise for connecting you and your roots, your ancestors. You can sit, you can stand, you can lie down, but it's better if your feet will be connected to the earth. Just imagine that your ancestors are your roots. And how you connect it to that roots. And when you will ready, you can send a message to your ancestors, and then come back to our realm. Does anybody want to share? You can stay there, just see your feelings.
I was just thinking when I saw, when I heard the silence, I was a little bit shy, but. So, I would like to share, and when you said feel the roots, I was immediately seeing and feeling the kind of German oak and the tree. It's almost a symbol for somewhat like German strength or whatever. And but first I couldn't feel it because I also had cold feet. But then it just. Time they were coming a lot of images about people up down to the medieval times and the difference and the diversity. It was actually good, and then somehow I felt something of that, and I was thinking I'm not yet quite ready to really appreciate it totally and fully, but I'm on the way to it. And
thank you.
That was my message.
Thank you.
Because while I was doing these exercises, I understand I'm really in denial about my Russian roots. Like I am Russian and I have some other bloods, and I more relate to other bloods than this 90% of Russian blood in me. I don't know why. And I came back, and start to speak with, you know, like people from Novgorod, and, you know, I start to think what is Russian are and where they came from, and it was kind of interesting journey. So, and I was, when you say talk to them, it was very important as well. I said, I really need your support. What am I doing? And it's very new for me. Thank you very much for this exercise. I think it's so many things to think about right now for me. Okay, thank you.
I decided that this exercise is very important, first of all, for me. when I felt that far away from my country. When you're there in your motherland, you don't feel it. You feel that it's okay. You don't think about it. But you, when you're far away, actually, before coming here, I didn't plan to do the presentation of my country. But when I came here, when the people started to ask me, and I felt that I need this. I want to present my country. Because there are a lot of things to present. Most of the time I will speak about history. Then we will do short break, and then I will tell you about our culture, architecture, and traditions, etc. Okay. So, is it okay for you? Maybe you can see somewhere there. Yeah. Okay. So the population about 8 million, but it is a fact that about 1 million people working abroad. So about 7 people in our country. We have right now 1 million refugees, and biggest part of them at their capital, Baku. About 3 million people now in Baku. Just imagine that. Almost half of the population here. It's interesting. So 90% ethnically Azeri people. 3% Dagestani or Lezgini, 2.5% Russians, and 2% Armenians. Maybe it sounds strange how it could be Armenians because of war, but this territory is still our territories. Occupied territories still our territory, and United Nations and European Union still, I mean, accept that this is our territory, all. Official language, Azeri or Azerbaijani, but about 30% of population can speak Russian. At the capital, a lot of people can speak English because of the city. So this is our symbols, this is our flag and the herb. So we have a following neighbors. This is Russia, Georgia, Armenia, Turkey and Iran. Azerbaijan has about 9 climates of 12 because of mountains, because about 50% of our country is the mountainous, and because of that mountains, different climates. So we have different types of trees, fruits, etc. We have two main rivers, Kura and Aras, and they all go to the Caspian Sea. So we have archaeological evidence that these territories were inhabited from the Stone Age. This Azir cave is a proof of it. So in 1968, Azerbaijan paleontologists find a lower jawbone of early man. It's considered to, the same type like the people archaeologists found at the Neanderthal, so Neanderthalian people. This is the tools which were found at the Cape, and interesting that the population around, this Cape, present population, had a lot of stories and legends that there are the dragons inside these caves. But there was something, and this person found it. You can see this jawbone is smaller. Then in many places of Azerbaijan, paleontologists find proof of Homo sapiens. And one of the interesting places in Azerbaijan, from the paleontologic side, this is the Gobustan. It's a place near Baku, and you can see here the pictures of the Asian people. And for example, in this picture, you could see, for example, ladies which are carrying the water. So here are the different scenes, like dancing, like fishing, like hunting. Sorry? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Just, I just started 2 days ago. So, Gobustan, somewhere here, near Baku, yeah. Do you know Tor Heyerdahl? Mm-hmm. So Tor Heyerdahl discovered that the long boats, the same boats, the same type of boats which used Vikings. And he saw that the people from Azerbaijan migrated to Norwegian area. He was from Norwegian. No, he was Norwegian. So you can see here the pictures at their Norwegian cave. You can see very similar. And Tor Heyerdahl proved that it is possible to go by just, this type of boat by the ocean. Maybe you heard about Kon-Tiki Ra expeditions. So it was the same type of boats. And the same cave of Gobustan. This is the proof of Roman imperi. So Roman troops, made this writing at 97 AD. The earliest written evidence of tribes inhabiting Azerbaijan is dated to 2.300 BC. Most of their sources, historical sources, are Greek, Roman, Persian. So a lot of Sumerians, Assyrians, they were here. Also Alexander was here, and before great Islamic caliphate. Is it caliphate or caliphate? Okay. So what's two main countries? Caucasian Albania or Iran, it's almost the present territory of Azerbaijan, and Atropatan, Media Atropatan. Why it's Atropatan? Because Atropat was the head of, he was the general of the Roman army, and he was the leader here. He was head of these territories. So then Media Albania became part of Persia. This is the Persian Empire. Then these territories became part of Alexander Great Empire. This is the Roman Empire. You can also see here that all these territories were under their control. At that time, the main religion was Zoroastrianism, especially in the Media. But also the Christianity, Shamanism, and Buddhism were also practiced in Azerbaijan prior 6th century. Albanian part was mostly Christian part. And you see this, this church, very similar to Armenian church, right? But this is Albanian, and it's also one of their speculations about territories of Armenians, that this is the Armenian church, and we have a lot of them. This is the at the Sheki. You can see there the pictures of Sheki Han Palace, and this is the same area. And Norwegian scientists made, some investigations, and they found that Armenians really were living there, but they used Albanian church. That they made some changes because, according to Catholic and according to Protestant branch, Jesus had a dual identity. So the God and the human, right, as a prophet. And but according to the Armenian branch, Jesus had only God's side. And investigation showed that because of that, Armenians had to change something inside the church, but they could find it. So, around that time, a lot of Turkish, not Turkish, Turkish, Turkish people came from Central Asia, and a lot of them, there was a Hazars, Bulgars, and the last were the Oghuz. So then Azerbaijan became part of Islamic Caliphate. Arabs didn't forbid any another religious, but the preaching Islam and the fact that Muslim paid much less taxes than another religious, all the territory became Muslim territory. Yeah, smart. I mean, no violence, but and interesting that that period of time wasn't any dividing to Muslim, Shia, and Sunni. It was only united Islam, and possible it was the secret of Caliphate strongest and power. It's 7th century. So, after the decline of Arabic Caliphate, the Oghuz Turks massively came to these territories. And we can say that most of that people, they brought the culture, and we still have this culture, these traditions, etc., from Oghuz Turks. Turkish people create the Seljuk Empire or Seljuk state. Also, it was a part of Azerbaijan. I mean, Azerbaijan was a part of Seljuk state. I mean, too much history, too much information. Is it okay? Okay, so during this Seljuk Empire was built the Shirvanshah Palace. You could see in the pictures, and here it's still in our city. It's okay. And then Mongols came. Of course, it was a severe blow to Azerbaijan economy, because during Seljuk state, it was real renaissance. So the six Turkish dynasties came to the following centuries. Garagoylu, Agoylu, actually they were struggling with Mongols. And this is the last one, Qajar. This is the picture of Sheki Han Palace. You could see here the different flags and the scenes of battle. It's, I mean, all around the room, every room, there are the pictures of their battles. This is the picture of decapitating. You also here see different flags, so different types of Turk people. And the Safavids, they brought Shia Islam, but it was with violence. And sometimes people were killed if they were praying as a Sunni Muslims. It's a terrible time, but. And Shiaism separated Azeri people from the Turks in the present Turkey territory, and from the people from Central Asia. So then Azerbaijan was under Persia, under Russia, under Persia. There was three main wars, and finally, at the 19th century, there was a Treaty of Turkmenchay. It was breakdown per time of their as of their history. So Azerbaijan separated, and one part, which is present Azerbaijan, became a part of Russia, and another part became a part of Persia. Now it's still part of Iran. And about 30 million Azeri people live there in Iran. 30 million. More than in our. Yeah, because it's also, people call this Azerbaijan also. Iranian Azerbaijan, but it's Iran. Not too much. Russia wants to have more influence the new territories, but the population was a Muslim population. So Russia decided to move the Christian people to these territories. And of course, they were Armenians, neighbors. It was much easier to move them. In February 1905, Dashnak Party, it's a party of Armenians who, they have desire to build the Grand Armenia, which, the part of Turkey, part of Georgia, part of Iran, and part of Azerbaijan and present Armenia. And hundreds of people were killed and wounded. But Russian government and Russian police didn't do anything in the Baku in that day. It was only one day. In 1905, also in Karabakh, were killed a lot of people, and only 30 people from Azeri villages, they stay alive. In 1906, in Tiflis, present Tbilisi territory of Georgia, they also leave a lot of Azeri people. There were also was a lot of killed people. So during all this time, more than 200 as every populated places were destroyed and all the population were killed or just persecuted. In 1917, so we're close. It was a collapse of Russian Empire. And Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan, social democratic parties decided to do like a new state, like a new country. But it wasn't a real country, but it was like a union. It was Transcaucasus Federation. So, I mean, interesting that a lot of events happened in February. And I'm doing my presentation also in February. But during this time, well-armed Armenian concentrated in Baku. And in March 13, they was created Defense Committee of the Bolsheviks. Do you know who were the Bolsheviks? Mm-hmm. So, interesting that most of them were Armenians. And at the history, I mean, during Soviet time, we were told that these people saved our country. And we had a great monument of them. But our archives, etc., were opened and so it's terrible, it's difficult to say, but I mean, it wasn't just killing, it was, I don't know. That period of time, 12,000 Azeri civilians were murdered in Baku. 7,000 in Shamakhi, and a similar number in Guba and other cities. By Armenians, by Dashnak, mostly it was Dashnak party. The Republic of Georgia, in May 26, declared its independence. So it was a collapse of Transcaucasian Federation. So it was since February 23rd till March, till May 26, almost nothing. And in May 28th, Azerbaijan and Armenia declared independence as well. This is the map which was presented in the Paris Peace Conference in 1919. So it's a little difficult to understand what's happening there in the picture, but I will show you another. So this was the territory of Azerbaijan that period of time. In 1920, Soviet Union came to Azerbaijan. And about 40,000 of people were killed. And in December 22nd, Azerbaijan, Armenia, and Georgia became part of USSR. Stalin used the old imperialistic technique like divide and manage. So, part of Azerbaijan, Zangezur, was given to Armenia. You can see here. So, Nakhchivan area was divided from mainland Azerbaijan. And to do the some balance, Soviet government decided to do resettlement from that territories, and about 150,000 people were resettled from Armenian Soviet Republic to Azerbaijan Soviet Republic. Every third person was died because most of the people couldn't adapt to the new climate. Most of them were living in the mountain places and they moved to just land. An interesting fact that leaders of Azerbaijan Commission of Resettlement were mostly ethnic Armenians. Leaders of Azerbaijan Commission of Resettlement were mostly Armenians. And the people were moved from Karabakh as well. And they had no permission to come back. Perestroika, you know this word, yeah? Gorby, Perestroika. I think that everybody knows. So, at that period of time, in most of the Soviet republics, there was a movement, and this movement, of course, Soviet government didn't like this movement because it was very dangerous for them. And at the same time began persecution for Azeri people in Armenia, in the territory again of Dangezur, and in territory of Yerevan. Now the capital of Armenia is Yerevan. But before, it, many centuries ago, it was Yerevan Hanlig. So about 51% of that territories, I mean 51% of the population at that territories were Azeri people and 49 Armenians. At that time, a lot of people were moved from their territories. So, this is the present time. I saw it all. So you can see only in 1 year, about 200,000 people were moved from Armenia, they were departed. And in 1990, we had one more impact. Soviet Union decided to decrease all these patriotic movements in all Republic of Soviet Union by the army forces. So it happened in Georgia, it happened in Vilnius, in Tallinn, in Baku. So, this January census. So it is it's a downtown. People didn't know what it is. I mean, a lot of army forces, gunshots. People didn't know what the gunshots. So I will not show you the murder pictures, but just I will show you next day. You can see that this is the main square of the city, and it's all people, and this is the coffins, 131 coffins. This is the government house. So in August 1991, USSR collapsed, and all republics of Soviet Union became independent. Using mass in the Soviet Union and there was uncontrolled situation in the army forces as well. So Armenia bought a lot of weapons from the Soviet. I mean, that time it was Russian, but problems with papers, etc. So, and one of the most terrible tragedy happened in Khojaly. Khojaly, it was a strategic town on the way of Shusha. Shusha, it's the like main city of Karabakh. It was on the hill. And in Khojaly, when the Armenian forces came, about 2,500 people started to run. Just they just left their houses. But unfortunately, they couldn't run. About 613 people were killed. 1,275 people were taken in hostage. And among that people were about 160 women and 83 children. It wasn't killing, it was execution. It was a real execution. Most of the people were all etc. because it's countryside. So during this period of time, from 1988 till 1992, because in 1992 Armenia and stopped the war. In 1992, over 20,000 people were killed. Over 50,000 people became disabled. About 5,000 people still missing. People don't know where they. About 20% of our territories occupied, and we have about 1 million refugees. Taking into account that the population of Azerbaijan only 8 million, is a huge number. A lot of people had the frostbites because they were going, from their houses through the mountains, etc. Could found any documents, etc. They took it or not. This is bad. This is a child with frostbite. I think that we'll need break. First of all, I need break. But I want to answer to all the questions if you have any.
I didn't quite understand, where did they come, the refugees? From Armenia, is that right? Or?
Okay, thank you. Most of the refugees came from Armenia and from Karabakh territories. It's in our territories, but they were displaced. Mm. I will show you the map now. So, this territory is now occupied. It's about 20%. It's 14th year. It's 14 years, and nobody can do anything. We don't want war, but we want our territories. Sometimes people ask me that, why you Azeri people, you don't want peace? We want peace. But if I will take anything from you, and then I'll tell you, okay, let's do peace. It's almost the same. It's not only territories, also people. This is the pictures of Shusha, the picture of the city of Karabakh. It's very old.
Are there any movements or initiatives that you know that try to find another way that both populations live together?
Thank you. Azerbaijan people always were living with Armenians, and we had a lot of Armenians in Baku. And interesting fact that Armenia didn't, invite them. Most of Armenians from Baku and from Azerbaijan, they went to Russia and other countries. Instead of going to Armenia. Azerbaijan is ready, and its official position of Azerbaijan government is ready to leave with Armenian population. And also Azerbaijan ready to give as much, not independent, but to be autonomical part of Azerbaijan. Do you know what I mean? I mean, like, so, but still nothing. A couple of days before, we're meeting in France, our presidents, Armenia and Azerbaijan, and suddenly Armenian president just cut the meeting and said that we'll meet next time. So, we are ready to leave with Armenians. But, I mean, official position of Armenian government that it's not a part of Armenia, it's independent state, but we have connection with them. I think after break, I will not talk about horror things. I will talk about culture, traditions, etc. Okay, is it 10-15 minutes? Okay, thank you.